We got Dave Gleeson and Alana Smith filling in this morning. Morning, morning.
G'day, g'day.
Morning, everyone.
What a difference a day makes, eh? How
right.
is it outside?
I hear you.
Oh, as cold as a mother-in-law's kiss this morning. I was walking along nearly getting blown off my feet.
Oh, I've got a dress on.
Hoodies and jeans over here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And what, 3,000 South Aussie homes lost power overnight?
Really? Yeah. It was wild conditions. It started in, last night I was at the pub, and it started about...
And things started shaking.
And my vision started going blurry, all that stuff. And then I heard there was a storm outside.
Yeah. Yeah. We're going to be babies on the way in 2019, no doubt. You know when it's blackouts, everyone goes home and makes babies, is that right?
I think so. It used to be.
That?
I didn't know that theory. Oh.
What else are you supposed to do?
I read a book.
Yeah. In the dark.
Just read a book with a torch.
Just me. So what's coming up in the show?
We are going to be talking about the three big things that are going on around Adelaide at the moment and in the news. And one of them is the most mysterious story I've ever heard.
Yes. We'll talk a bit more about that in a moment. We're also going to chat to Jeff Kennett a bit later in the show. Stuff at the airport, like people exploding over Tiger Airways. So we'll talk more about that. And you're even hosting your own press conference.
Yes,
Lisa.
I'm holding a press conference after last night's shenanigans. it's sad, but you have to make these decisions when you're in a position that I am.
Triple M's Ruined Dits for breakfast. They're back in 2019. Let's do this.
Ruined Dits. Top three things you need to know.
Making news.
Well, we in radio, we talk about hooking things. Mm-hmm. You give people a little bit of bait and see what they see if they'll stick around to listen to the rest of the story. This is on the front page of the Advertiser today. A high-profile Australian with a prestigious worldwide reputation has been convicted of an awful crime. The whole world is talking about it. Reputable overseas news sites have published lengthy stories on the case, but Australian media are prohibited from telling you about it. So there's actually a case that's being discussed worldwide that we know about here in Australia, or that the media outlets know about, but they're gagged across the nation from talking about
it. That's right. So the courts have issued that suppression order, and it really doesn't make sense anymore. Maybe in a time gone by when the internet wasn't as prolific as it is, social media didn't exist, but right now, if you want to find out what this is all about, and it really is the nation's biggest story at the moment that can't be reported, you can just Google it and find out. Yet, newspapers, ourselves, no one can discuss it properly. So it is a very interesting,
very cryptic
situation.
And they've said, that are these type of suppression orders and gagging orders, are they in the national interest or not? That's the big question that's being asked. And I guess that's the hook. You have to watch this space, and I imagine more will come out over the coming days and months about that story. That's all I can say about that.
We'll leave it there. We don't want to get ourselves into too much trouble. No. Alcohol prices. Let's move on.
Yeah, well, they're talking about just like the sugar tax and the junk food tax that they've tried to get through Parliament in the last little while to try and stem the obesity epidemic that they're calling it. They're trying to impose that also on alcohol because obviously alcohol is a contributing factor to not just obesity, but I would imagine many chronic diseases.
Yeah, that's a recommendation. Obviously, we already have pretty high tax on alcohol. We pay a lot more for it than other places around the world. Let's take a listen to what they're looking at taxing.
Cask wine will increase the highest, and spirits and ready-to-drink mixed beverages will increase the lowest.
To any decisions around the taxation of food or beverages.
Now, it's funny that you say about the taxation because in South Australia here, in Adelaide, if I buy a pint of pale, which is the same size as same size as a schooner in New South Wales, okay? So a pint of pale.
It's a topic you're well qualified
absolutely.
To talk about.
Expert hat on. So a pint of pale here is $8.50. But if I go over to New South Wales and buy pale ale, It will cost me for the same size glass to be about $6.
Mm. So, and it comes from here.
That's the disparity even even in Australia with between states of the taxation that goes on alcohol. But, yeah, talking about taxing cask wine and the spirits and pre-mixed drinks. So I don't know how it's going to go.
Yeah, I guess there's a high sugar content in wine and pre-mixed drinks. Spirits, though, not sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, Bundaberg rum's all sugar.
Yeah, right.
but they're also talking about this maybe being a way that they can lower alcohol content in certain wine products and stuff like that, which has been going on for a while as well. A lot of new winemakers are going more for the taste of the wine rather than the alcohol content.
So. But then, as part of the research, they were saying, yeah, obviously there's light beers and there are drinks available, readily available with a lesser alcohol content, but it doesn't guarantee people won't consume more and reach the same result.
Once again, smacks a bit of the nanny state, really. I mean, if that's what they want to do, they say they want to cure it, stop the obesity epidemic. I would imagine they just want to collect more money from taxes, and it's a nice ruse.
Well, the Australian National Dictionary Centre, which is a centre I didn't know existed, they've named the 2018 Word of the Year. Know what it is?
Well, it's not actually a word, is it?
No, it's a phrase.
Hit us with it.
Canberra bubble.
Oh, yeah.
ScoMo's favourite. It's his go-to.
And this, he obviously uses it to show that he's in touch with the common man. He's not, trapped in the Canberra bubble as, say, Bill Shorten and his crew are. But ScoMo's out there doing what he can to burst through the Canberra bubble.
This was the shortlist for the year. Bag rage, which is the anger provided in a customer by the removal of free plastic bags at the checkout.
Thankfully, that's what it is. I thought
just
it might be something
take
else.
Take your own or pay the 10 cents. Blockchain, a system in which records are maintained across several computers that are linked in a peer-to-peer network. I'm not familiar with that one.
Me either.
Drought relief. I don't think that's a new term, but obviously with the droughts in the eastern states that have been so significant, that's been a commonly used phrase, fair dinkum power.
Fair dinkum power. I mean, that's just, once again, it's trying to show the common touch of the politicians. We won't get fair dinkum on power prices.
And the NEG, the National Energy Guarantee. That's been the other word on the shortlist or phrase on the shortlist.
It must be an absolute barrel of laughs, huge excitement place to work, the Australian National Dictionary Centre, I would think.
I reckon it's inside the Canberra bubble, that place.
And there it is.
Yeah, that's what's making news. Now, Gleeso, you're holding a press conference?
Yes, I am, after last night's horror story. I don't want to talk about it, but I have to. Yeah.
Triple M's Ruined Dits return in 2019 with their biggest ever cash giveaway. Screaming Jets' Dave Gleeson and Channel 7's Alana Smith on the job this morning. We ready? Ready? All right, let's cross to Dave Gleeson's press conference.
Is this thing on?
It's on, man.
Thanks for coming in at such short notice, everybody. This decision doesn't come lightly. I've been the captain of the Scenic Inquisition Hills 8-ball team for the last two seasons. We've had our ups and downs, but last night was a new low, obviously on my behalf. And I don't even know if the team won or lost, because I stormed out before the end of the game. And I think now's the time to step down. We might need some fresh thoughts, fresh ideas around the captaincy. And look, I'll leave it up to the rest of the team. The senior leadership group will be obviously meeting after this and discussing whether I even have a place on the team anymore. It was terrible. You shouldn't have been there. Anyway, that's it. That's my statement.
Are you taking questions, Mr. Gleeson?
I'm not. I'm just hoping that the board doesn't light up from my teammates saying.
How about from me? Can I ask you a few questions?
Yeah, go on.
Has this idea been brewing for a while, or was it, have you spat the dummy?
Well, look, we've done well in previous years, but this year we're sitting at 0-6 for the start of the competition. I'm prepared to take all the blame for it. And yes, as I said, I'd like to hand the reins over to a younger member who is probably more suited to the job.
Any regrets this morning about walking out before even seeing the result?
I walked out. I said, I'll have two takeaways, and then I left, and I'm sitting in the car. I'm going, I should go back in. It's only early. But then I'd made my decision. I had to go home with my tail between my legs. Anyway, that's the my story of ennui. Beaten.
Bad luck, hey? I reckon they'll take you back. I have a sneaking suspicion.
You know what? Maybe I put a little too much emphasis on the seriousness of it. It's just a social occasion. That's what I've got to work out.
Who beat you, by the way?
A couple of lovely ladies. Mandy beat me. Beth beat me. And Grizz beat me. But, yeah, it's Mandy and Beth I'm going to hear most about from my teammates, because they always go, oh, you got beaten by a girl.
But that, where does the moment rank for you in the low moments of life?
It's the lowest of the low. I've lost three grand finals playing in the eight ball, but no, this ranks very, very lowly.
I've got a really important question.
Yep.
How often shall one chalk their cue?
Always chalk before the black, and then I only chalk when I'm nervous. So, okay. Mate, pretty well all the whole time.
There you go, Dave Gleeson's press conference.
That guy's OCD.
Ruined Dits for breakfast. Triple M.
What a goal!
Ruined Dits overnight sports.
Being summer, it's cricket first, and it's been revealed that Ishant Sharma reportedly bowled at least 16 no balls during the Adelaide Test. The ending quick was only pulled up once for overstepping the mark, and that was during an LBW appeal on Aaron Finch, which was given out but overturned by the DRS. Oh, those Indians, very tricky. They beat the Aussies by 31 runs to take a 1-0 lead in the series. Second test starts tomorrow in Perth, and Australia's final training session is later today.
Yep, and the Sandful will release the draw for 2019 today, with North Adelaide and Woodville West Torrens set to play each other in the opening round. The two clubs will do battle on March 31 at Woodville Oval, reigniting a fierce rivalry after the events of the 19th man saga in this year's controversial prelim final.
Oh, do you reckon that was coincidental, or do you reckon they said, let's get this cracking?
Very much planned.
In soccer, Aaron Mooy will miss the Asian Cup due to a knee injury. The Socceroos star midfielder and Premier League player is out for 3 months after suffering a torn medial ligament while playing for Huddersfield.
And in rugby league news, Cronulla will know by next Tuesday if Shane Flanagan will be coaching next year. He is under the microscope at the moment after the integrity unit reportedly found evidence he had contact with club officials during his 2014 suspension, which is a big no-no.
And that's the sport. Yep, 25-hour wait for Tiger passengers here in Adelaide. Yeah, sorry about that. Have a $5 voucher. We'll catch up with Elspeth Hussey from 7 News next to find out more. Triple M's Ruined Dits for breakfast. They're back in 2019. A 25-hour wait for Tiger passengers in Adelaide.
And as soon as we came up to the gate, I noticed there's no stickers on the airplane. I said to my wife, I said, where'd they, like, they get this from the garbage dump?
Not offered. I had to ask. And he said, look, we'll give you a food voucher, a $5 voucher. $5. I said, that won't even pay for the mayonnaise on the burger.
It's actually laughable, isn't it? But for more on this story, there were plenty of angry people at Adelaide Airport yesterday, is Channel 7's Elspeth Hussey. Morning to you, Elle. The police had to be called in. What was taking place?
Good morning, guys. Yeah, federal police were called in twice just to keep the order, because understandably these passengers were going off. They had attempted to take off 5 times over 24 hours in the same plane. And it just consistently had technical issues. They were, unloaded, then they were put back on the plane and they were unloaded again. And many ended up sleeping the night in the airport. So they were at their wit's end yesterday and they just wanted to get to Sydney.
And so we just heard that caller talking about vouchers being handed out. And it sounds like they weren't actually doing it off their own bat. You had to go and actually front up and ask them for some type of voucher for food.
Yeah, absolutely. This was late last night when they'd already been there for about 11 hours. Some of them wanted to go home and they weren't being offered accommodation vouchers. Only those who asked got them. So many today, or last night rather, said they didn't know that they could get them. You had to go up and ask for them. But I suppose adding insult to injury, they were offered these $5 food vouchers. And I think we all know you can't really buy much for $5 in the airport.
And what about... the other passenger that we just heard from talking about seeing another plane with no branding on it. What happened there?
So that was the plane that they were attempting to take off in. It was very unusual. It was just a white plane. There was absolutely no markings, no stickers, no sign that it was a Tiger plane. And that was the plane that was having these technical issues. So it's still unclear why it was unmarked. Some passengers say they were told it's because the plane is being sold or has been sold. But why it's still flying passengers or attempting to fly passengers is unclear. Tiger has put out a brief statement. They're blaming this technical issue. Passengers say it was something wrong with the air conditioning. It was boiling hot on the plane and also had a smell of fuel. And in the end, after about the fifth time of boarding, some passengers were just choosing to get off the plane because they just said they just didn't feel safe getting on this thing.
Well, that's right. You'd think people's anxieties must have been rising as they got on and off the plane. I guess that's probably what led to some of the more chaotic scenes with the police having to show up.
Absolutely. Like these were rational people. We were talking to them. They just didn't know what to do. There was people travelling from Canada trying to get home. There were people who had come over for funerals and, you know, were just emotional and wanted to get home. There were families with little babies and kids. And there were some elderly people. And it was just an absolute nightmare. And there was these two young Tiger workers behind the desk who were really copping it, but they had been told that they didn't have the authority to issue refunds. So people were just wanting refunds so they could book on other airlines, but these two young girls were having to say, I'm sorry, I can't give you a refund. And it wasn't until we rocked up that within 30 minutes they started issuing refunds. So, chaotic scenes, and, the federal police, as we say, had to sort of, step in and sort of protect these young workers at some point.
Yeah, as you say, an absolute nightmare for passengers, and it's turned into a real PR nightmare for the airline. Thanks very much for your time this morning, Elspeth.
Thanks, guys.
And Elspeth makes a very good point there. We've all been odd in airports when delays have happened. I would implore people, don't go off at the staff who are sitting there, who are, probably young people who are, they're just there getting their hourly rate to do their job. And I can guarantee you, London to a brick, they would like nothing better than to see the back of you get on that plane, get the hell out of there.
Or give you a refund.
Or give you a refund. But if it's not in their pay grade, then please get, because I've seen people like really tear into these and some girls be quite distressed by the way they've been treated. So I know it's a hard one. I know everyone wants to get where they're going and we've paid money and yada, yada, yada. But have a bit of respect for
but
the people.
But by the same token, if the airline has the policy of not outwardly offering things to people, they have to come up and ask for them. Well, they're sort of inviting it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the airline needs to protect their stuff. I wonder if anyone else has had absolute travelling nightmares. I had one myself only a few weeks ago when there was massive winds, 90-kilometre-hour winds in Sydney, and it took me 12 hours to get from Adelaide to Newcastle to a gig. But I wonder if anyone else has got any tales
of horror. Sure they will. Let's go to Craig of Campbelltown. Good morning to you, Craig. What's your disaster story?
Good morning. I was returning home from the Middle East. I was in Qatar Airport, and then the King wanted to take off, so I was stuck there for 36 hours before the next flight.
36?
And I got to Singapore, and there was another two-day wait before I could get home to Adelaide. And I was just moving home. I lived in the Middle East for 4 years, and I just wanted to get back home to Aussie.
Oh, man. And so what, and you just had to hang around the airport, no accom or anything like that?
I got accommodation in Singapore, but Qatar, no. And it was just hard tile floors for 36 hours just trying to sleep and get a shower. And
were passengers accepting of the fact that it was the King, so they just had to wait, or how did people respond to that?
Well, when we were in line for the hotel just to hire a shower for 3 hours, everyone was getting very cranky and, it wasn't good. It wasn't good at all.
And you do have to mind your P's and Q's in places like that in the Middle East, don't you?
Oh, yeah, especially when they've got nice big guns and they're going around the airport and stuff. So you got to quietly bite your tongue.
Thanks very much, Craig.
All right, thanks, guys.
Cheers, mate.
All right, let's go to Jamie from Henley. What's your flying nightmare story?
Yeah, would have been about, 5 or 6 years ago. Me and the family were
We're going to be flying out to the Gold Coast, and yeah, we're flying down the runway, and all of a sudden the plane had to hit the skids, and we hit a flock of one of the rotors hit a flock of galahs, and yeah, it absolutely cracked myself. And there's a code in the plane world, if you hit a code called B1, and they're a couple of seconds away from that. If they'd gone past that, we would have been committed to take off, and the plane would have done a Hudson River. We would have ended up in the beach because the glass bent all the rotors in this particular in this particular engine. And, yeah, very scary. And then we had to wait for a couple of hours for another Tiger plane to arrive so we can be on our way to the Gold Coast.
Oh, man. I mean, that's critical there. And the fact that, see, for me, I wouldn't be waiting around for that next flight. I'd be hiring a car.
long way to drive to the Gold Coast, eh?
It is.
All right, Gleeso, those tickets to the Screaming Jets. Who gets them?
Oh, let's give them to Jamie, mate.
Jamie, all good?
Come and see the Jets 21st of December at the Gov, the Gotcha Cover Tour.
Jamie, you better be a bloody Screaming Jets supporter, you are you?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, all right. That's good then. We were only talking about flaming galahs the other day, weren't we?
That's all right.
All right. Ruined It's for Breakfast, Triple M. Now, Jeff Kennett's on the phone. He's got a new book. Morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Adelaide. How are you?
Very well, thank you, Mr. Kennett.
Yes, so, all right, Mr. Kennett, I like that.
We're highly respectful. We're talking about the Torch Collection, which is a selection of the best of some Indigenous artists. Tell us a little bit more about this project.
Well, when I was preparing to leave Beyond Blue, I wanted to continue working with a community activity. And I've been looking around for years, and I found an organisation which was made up of one Indigenous man and one part-time assistant who were helping Indigenous men and women who are incarcerated in Victoria's prison. And I saw some of the work that they were doing. And what this man, Kent Morris, was able to do was to take painting and art materials to these men and women, give them something to do, and that would encourage them to reconsider their lives. And then ultimately, when they left jail, to be able to have a big enough industry in art that they could earn a living and hopefully not recommit a crime. So about 64% of all Indigenous men and women who are incarcerated end up back in jail. Now, that is a shocking and appalling rate. So what Kent Morris did was give these people a reason to stay out of jail. And when I met him, I was so impressed with him. He's about in his 40s. I said to him, would you like me to put together a board to assist you to be able to do your job more professionally? And he said yes, and I've put together a bipartisan board. I've got on it the wife of the Victorian Premier, Daniel Andrews. Her name is Catherine. A bit the same principle of when I set up Beyond Blue. It's got to be bipartisan. It's not a Liberal thing. It's not a Kenneth thing. It's a bipartisan community activity. And then we got the Premier to change the regulation so that we can sell the work of those incarcerated men and women, and they retain a little bit of money while they're in jail, and the rest is held in trust until they get out. And so we are now showing them that through their endeavour, that is, the incarcerated men and women, that they can get rewarded for their efforts. And many of them now, we've got probably about 120 on our post-release program, only two of them, 2% of all those who were incarcerated have ended up back in jail, as opposed to 64%.
That's amazing.
The book that we're launching tonight is actually a collection of their works to show the non-Indigenous and the non-interested community that there are things that we can do together that will give these people a new life. And importantly, restore to them a lot of their personal pride and dignity. And so it's a bit of a copybook type production. It's not as large as you might imagine a copybook, but it's probably a bit bigger than a normal book, but it's a wonderful production. So we're launching that tonight just to further, I guess, draw attention to the fact some of these people are just so wonderfully talented.
Yeah, I'm really interested to find out a bit more, Jeff, about the talent of these people, because I'm imagining a lot of them are only starting to paint while they're in prison. Is that the case, or are you rediscovering artists that have been doing it for some time?
Both. I bought a painting from one artist and was the first painting he's ever done. And it's not the most perfect rendition of a human body, but it's his memory of his grandfather. And it's a terribly proud grandfather. And to me, it is just wonderful. And I've bought some of their work since, not only paintings, I've bought ceramics, I've bought some woodwork. So they don't just necessarily do paintings per se. Some do jewellery, but some have done some before they've entered jail. Others haven't. But and the talent is variable. But the better ones, and those who have then been doing it for a while as their skills improved, I tell you, the work is just fascinating, just wonderful. And what we hope to do, I've said to the Torch, I'll give it the next 10 years of my life, and I hope that we will then be able to spread the Torch and its work throughout the other states of Australia, because it's a really good program in prisons that helps people readjust their lives.
Yeah, and this is a huge point. The thing about the Indigenous art that I've always loved is the variety, the huge different mediums that they work in that bring their culture to life. But obviously, the dignity that these people are having restored to their life is the key factor of this whole exercise.
Yes, there's no doubt about that. There's one chap who was in prison, and we worked with him, and he left prison, got out, did his time. He went back to his community and realised in going back there, that's where he got into trouble in the first place. So he moved, of all places, to Adelaide. And we rang him up a couple of months ago and we said, look, are you still doing paintings? We'd love to have one of your works in our exhibition early next year. And he said, to be quite honest, I'm too busy. I've got three jobs and I've just been promoted in one. Now, this wouldn't have happened unless this young fellow had left jail with a few dollars in his hands, and it was only about $1,500, but it was enough to give him the opportunity to restart his life. And he's one of your citizens over in Adelaide at the moment.
Fantastic. Well, it's a brilliant initiative, Jeff, and I can't wait to have a look at it myself. It's called Indigenous Artists, a selection of the best, the Torch Collection, and it's coming out tonight.
And just before we let you go, Jeff.
Before you ask your question, are you still on air next week, you guys?
No, we
won't be.
We finish up this week.
All right. Well, what I'll do anyway, I will, when I get back to the office this afternoon, I'll get a copy of the book put in the mail for you. So it'll be there for you when you next return to the studio.
Oh, thank you very much. We look forward to checking it out. Just finally, Jeff, the Hawks. How are they shaping up for 2019?
Oh, I can't tell you. Oh, we're flying. We're flying. And you know what? Our first game next year is over in Adelaide against the Crows. That's the first game of the season.
Yeah.
So we're looking forward to that with bated breath, I can tell you.
All right, Jeff, we look forward to it too. And congratulations on being part of such a great project.
Thank you very much. You have a good day.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Kennett there. Bye. Triple M's ruined it for breakfast. Dave Gleeson and Alana Smith filling in this week. It's a smartwatch with a phone and GPS. It's a Space Talk smartwatch, Alana.
Yeah, that's right. And brilliantly, it's all been developed here in Adelaide. We're now joined by Mark Fortunato to tell us a bit more about it. What is Space Talk, Mark?
Well, Space Talk is an all-in-one phone, watch and GPS device. It's for young kids. It's for kids between ages 5 and 12. So it's all about keeping the kids, staying connected with your kids and keeping them safe.
Yeah, well, yeah. Look, it looks fantastic. And we've been talking about the pitfalls, obviously, of other phones and platforms and their connection to social media and stuff. But this is...
Well, this is a really safe device, Dave, because what it does, it's parent controlled. So parents control who the child can make and receive calls from and text messages. So it's to a closed list. So it can be mom, dad, auntie, uncle, grandma and grandpa, and that's it, nobody else. So there's no chance of the kids getting bullied or potentially being a bully, sending text messages out to somebody else. So it's very safe to use. It's very secure, so it's we put the highest security into the watch, and it's private, so there's no chance of that data getting out to anywhere else or being inadvertently shared on the internet. And the good thing about it too, as you said before, it's got no access to the open internet, social media, YouTube, none of those nasties. So it's a very responsible device for 5 to 12 year olds.
So you can definitely see the appeal then for parents. What about kids? What's the response been like? Do they like wearing them?
They love it. It's love it. It's like, you know, I mean, they're young kids, so that it's unlikely they'll get their own smartphone when they're 7 or 8 years old.
Yeah.
So this is like fantastic. This is might as well be it. They can make and receive phone calls. They can send text messages with emojis. They can check their weather. They step counter. Kids love step counters.
Yeah, they
love
them.
So this is a step counter. They can see how many steps they walked and check that out with other kids. It's great. It's
fun. I was only talking to a 3-year-old yesterday who said top of his Santa list is a Fitbit, which I couldn't believe. But yeah, kids really love counting steps, don't they?
Well, you think about it. This has got everything a Fitbit's got and a whole lot more. Mm. It's a phone. Mm. It's a GPS device. It's sends text messages. So, you know, you just imagine what it'd feel like if, you're at work and you get a text message from your child saying, love you, mum, love your dad, with a love heart emoji.
Yeah.
It's like it makes your heart
heartwarming. Yes. And they're colourful as well.
They're colourful, yes. Yes, we've got 3 colours. We've got teal. We've got pink for girls. We've got red. And we've got school grey. They can wear it at school and uniform. Blends in with a uniform.
Because this has been a talking point only very recently. New South Wales are talking about barring phones in primary schools.
Dave, the good thing is this is actually parents can shut the phone down or put it into school mode.
Uh-huh.
The watcher should say the school mode during school time.
Yep.
So when they're at school, the kids are at school, it's just an ordinary watch.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't do anything else. So there's no chance that they'll get distracted or do anything else. But come 3:30, when school's over, bang, it becomes a phone again.
Yeah, right. So parents can completely control it remotely via the app.
Totally.
Okay.
Totally.
Yeah, sounds really interesting.
And you say it's got the weather, you can check the weather, and it has something that that's being very utilised is this knowing when your children are arriving at places and leaving
places.
That's
right. Yeah, so you can also put a geofence around school, the bus stop, grandma's house, your home, so you can see that your child has arrived when they should have to school, or more importantly, if they haven't arrived by a certain time.
Mm-hmm.
And it just sends in a notification and you can see exactly where you are and give them a call if you have to. It's also got SOS. So if the child ever feels they're in a threatening situation or you've taken them to a concert or something and they've got lost, they can hit the SOS button and the phone will automatically dial, text and send the location of everybody on the list that you've set up as an emergency contact.
Wow. Yeah.
So what's the uptake been like? I understand the product's been on the market for a little while.
Yes, it's been phenomenal. Phenomenal. Right now it's being sold in JB Hi-Fi in all their stores. So if any of your listeners want to go have a look at it, check it out, just go to the local JB Hi-Fi store. It's being sold in New Zealand by Spark, which is the equivalent of Telstra. It's available on our website at spacetalkwatch.com. So it's a great Christmas present.
Sure.
Yeah.
Indeed. So what would parents be up for? What would they have to fork out to get hold of one of these and then maintain it?
Yep. Well, the device costs $349 and then there's an ongoing monthly fee for the SIM card.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, there's some SIM cards that you can get for $8 or $10 now. It's tuned for the Telstra network. SIM cards can last 2 or 3 months for $8 to $10. And there is an ongoing monthly app fee, which is $5.99 as well.
Okay.
Fantastic, Mark. Well, to think that this has been developed right here in Adelaide, and I'm reading here also that you obviously would have done a business model for it, but it looks like it's going to exceed even your greatest expectations with sales.
Well, absolutely. Sales are just unbelievable, the forecast now, with some industry forecasts saying that 30% of all watches now will go into this kids' market. But it's an interesting story how this came about, because we're the company that discovered and pioneered the use of SMS messaging in schools 15 years ago. Mm-hmm. And that all came from Adelaide as well. But when parents get a text message that their child hasn't arrived to school when expected, the very next question they ask is, where are they?
Yep. Right?
And we've been trying to solve that for a very long time. We built apps, we've done this and that, and nothing else worked particularly well. Until 5 years ago, we thought, why don't we build an all-in-one phone, watch, and GPS device, which you can imagine 5 years ago seemed like, you know, flying to the moon and back would have been easier, let alone to build something like this from Adelaide. So anyway, we got to work, and after about 3 years slugging away, we came up with our first device. But unfortunately, it didn't work as reliably as it needed to, because, you know, you know what it's like when you need to ring somebody and you can't get through, no reception?
Yep.
It drives you bonkers.
Yeah.
So just imagine when you're doing that with your child. It's not going to work. So we threw that out, started again, and luckily we hired in some really top engineers from Adelaide-based people too that spend a lot of time working with Nokia and Microsoft and companies like that. And we came out with Spacetalk. And then when we actually got it to work the way we wanted to, the lab tests were showing that the reception was actually a lot better than a mobile phone, which is remarkable because it's a, you know, it's a small device.
Awesome.
As you mentioned, you did all this here in Adelaide. Just speaking more broadly for business in this city and state, how easy was it to do? Were there certain challenges that you encountered by being in a smaller city, or do you feel like you can do anything here in Adelaide?
Ah, look, we just knuckled down and did it and got on with it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's a lot of talented people here in Adelaide. It's just really about having the will and desire, I think, to do it. Next year, we expect to be selling it in Europe. So it's, I think the company's got a big future ahead of it.
Well, thank you very much for joining us today, Mark. And we wish you all the luck with Spacetalk. And thanks very much for bringing a great Adelaide product that's taken on the world.
Well done. And for listeners interested, JB Hi-Fi is the place to go and check it out.
104.7 Triple M.
Ah! Pressure point!
Ruin Did's $1,000 pressure test.
Get those 10 questions or 10, sorry, 10 answers. I always stuff this up. It's not that hard, is it?
10 answers in 30 seconds.
10 answers in 30 seconds,
we'll ask
Tim.
The question.
You idiot.
Yes.
And we'll ask the question.
Taking the honours today is Bronwyn from Holden Hill. Morning, Bronwyn. What are you up to?
Doing a bit of sewing, a bit of shopping, getting a few Christmas things organised.
Now, I'm wondering, what's the sewing about, Bronwyn? What's going on there?
Our daughter's getting married in 4 weeks' time, so I've been making myself a dress.
Awesome.
Oh, that's fantastic. Very resourceful.
That's very exciting for you.
Sure is, yeah. Coming closer and closer.
Yeah, and it's such a busy time of year anyway. That time will fly. All right, so I imagine $1,000 would come in very handy with all that going on?
Absolutely.
All right.
Sure would.
You may have cottoned on earlier with Gleeso's slight reference. Not sure if you were listening, but the question we have for you today, we want 10 airlines from you.
Okay. Qantas, Etihad, Qatar, Tiger Air, Jetstar, heavens, I've forgotten them all. Gone blank.
Malaysia.
Yep, Malaysian, Singapore, JAL. I think I just blew it.
That's why it's called the pressure test.
Six, seven, eight.
Correct.
Especially with that little hint along the way.
Yeah.
Gotta help out. The lady's trying to have a trying to pay for a wedding.
A double to the open air
bad
cinema,
luck,
though,
Roman.
for your efforts.
No worries. Nice. Thank you. Thanks a lot.
Roman.
Thank you.
American Express Open Air Cinemas is bringing more than movies to its brand new location at the Riverbank Lawn. Tickets and info at openaircinemas.com.au. What else could she have said?
Qantas? She didn't Qantas, say yep. Qantas.
Lufthansa.
Lufthansa. Did she say Singapore?
Yes, I think she did.
Yeah. American Airlines. There's lots of them. Finnair.
$1,000 could have been her.
Ryanair.
We
EasyJet.
Air Asia.
Yep.
We would have won.
Give us that $1,000.
We're in Ditzler breakfast, Triple M.
Oh, look, just the space industry that's going to be setting up here very shortly over the next few years and going to be bringing heaps of jobs to Australia.
Mm-hmm.
They're saying it's a great chance for girls to get involved in STEM, science, technology, engineering and maths, and it's going to keep a lot of young people right here in this state because they'll have the opportunities that that they usually went over east for. So it's very exciting times. And for the young people of today, be very excited and motivated that this is going to happen.
Indeed. No doubt there'll be great collaborations with universities and schools and we'll all get some access. So it's just going to be a great thing to be here and be part of.
Unreal.
All right. Another show down. One small step. Done and dusted. Have a great day, everyone. Bye-bye.
Rock on.
See ya.